Hello and welcome to the Speaking for Him podcast. My name is Andrew Gomeson, and I am privileged to be your host each and every Wednesday. I am so glad that you are here with me today. We are continuing on in our Considering One Another series, and this is part four, Show His Love. And James Wisniewski, my trusty co-host, was going to join us today. But he has some things to catch up on with his own ministry, Earned Wages. So I am just giving him a shout out here, and I know that he is praying for me as I record this, and I'm sure that he will be back on the show soon. But I just wanted to say again how much I appreciate him as a brother, and I really encourage you to check out his earnedwages.org website and get connected, because he has some exciting ideas of what he wants to do in the future ministry-wise. So with that being said, let's jump into today's topic of considering one another, showing his love. So we're going to start out with our quote of the day. And our quote of the day comes from Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And again, that's Matthew 22:37-40. And Jesus is basically outlining for us that although there are 10 commandments, and although there are 600 plus laws for the Jews in the Old Testament, if we look at the bottom line foundational truth found in all of those laws, they boil down to these two things: to love God and to love others. I have a friend named Cherie who that's really her motto for life, love God and love others. And that is something that I try to do as well. I really believe that Jesus was and is an intentional Savior. He loves the individual, and all through the scriptures you can see him taking time to spend individual time with specific people for a specific purpose, and that is to change their lives. And so we as believers are called to do the same thing, because we are his example to the world. Paul wrote it this way to the people that he was shepherding. He said, you are my epistles, known and read of all men. And so it's a challenge to me to think about what type of things people are reading in my epistle. And I hope that they're reading that I love them out of an unconditional love that only comes from my relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, of course, when I say unconditional, I say that I'm striving to love with an unconditional love, but I know that my human capacity sometimes gets in the way, and that my love can be more or less conditional. But that is why we must continue to study the scriptures, so that we can become more and more like Christ. The Bible says that the goal of the Christian life, from God's perspective, is to conform us to be more and more like the image of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus. So as we dive into these aspects of showing Christ's love, let us remember that as the basis and jumping off point. The first point I want to talk about today is that Jesus is our example. In John 13:34-35, Jesus says, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And I love this passage because it points out the fact that Jesus does not ask us to do anything that he has not already done himself. He wants us to love others the way that he loves us, which again is a perfect example. I think it's very important for us to be constantly reminded of the fact that Jesus did not come to lower the standards for us to get to the kingdom of heaven or to be godly people. Rather, he came to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the law, so that he could bring us up to his perfect standard by the power of the Holy Spirit. I also think it's significant that Jesus said, the greatest way that you're going to bring people into the kingdom of heaven is not by loving them, although that's my commandment to you as well, but it is by showing love to one another as the body of Christ. And when the world sees the love that we as believers have for one another, that is a very attractive thing that can draw them to having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, Paul puts it this way, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So again, we see that we are called to be followers of God as dear children. Remember what Jesus said? He said, unless you become like a little child, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You need to become like a little child when it comes to matters of faith. Uncle Charlie, when he was doing ministry for the Children's Bible Hour, one of the things he said was that 80% of people come to Christ as children. And it's because we as adults like to complicate things. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But it's our human approach and the way that we process things that makes us believe, well, maybe believing on the Lord Jesus Christ plus baptism, or believing on the Lord Jesus Christ plus church attendance, or believing on the Lord Jesus Christ plus walking the old lady across the street. Maybe that is what brings us salvation. But in reality, it's simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he want us to do all those other things I just mentioned? Yes. But those things will be a natural result of the change that Jesus makes in our lives, because he takes out our stony heart and puts in its place a heart of flesh, a heart that is sensitive toward others, a heart that loves others in a way that we can't even fathom without him, because we don't have a capacity to love without the love of God within us. The second point that I want to bring out is Jesus would have us put others first. Philippians 2, 3 to 5 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And of course, if we continue on in that passage, we see that Jesus humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. And he did that for us. He chose to become a human and embrace living the human life from being a baby all the way up until he was about 33 years old. Then he died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day, and ascended 40 days later into heaven, where he is even now seated at the right hand of God. He did this to give us an example of how to live, but also to redeem us from sin, because we were not able to save ourselves. The Bible says that while we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Lest we think that we were 80% good and he fulfilled the other 20%, might we remember that when we trust Christ, we are not passed from bad to good, but rather we are passed from death to life, because without God, we would be dead in our trespasses and sins with no hope. And then Romans 12, 9 and 10 puts it this way, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." And again, Romans 12, 9 and 10. So these verses here are showing us that one of the things that should most typify our character as believers is that we would be kindly affectionate to one another. That we would be the kind of people that would reach out and that would embrace others both physically and in other ways to make them feel loved and welcome and wanted. Because that's what Jesus did for us. And the way that we draw people to Jesus is to show others how Jesus changed us. You know, we can argue theology until we're blue in the face, and we can have many different disagreements about various beliefs within Christianity. But one thing that people can't argue with is your story and the way that Jesus changed you. I know that before I met the Lord, I was one way, and then after the Lord came into my life, I was another way, and that was completely different, and the only difference was Him. I know what a difference He made when, as a teenager, I was hitting rock bottom, and then I rededicated my life to Christ. These are differences in my life that only Jesus could have made. And it is my hope that as we are out and about in society, that we are taking the opportunity to show people what a changed life looks like. The third point that I want to mention is that Jesus shows us that love is an action verb. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 5:13-14. And so Paul is bringing us back to what Jesus said in the earlier passage, and he's saying that one of our biggest goals in life should be to love our neighbors as ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 5, we are told that a husband should love his wife as he loves himself, because Paul acknowledges that we are, in general, good at loving ourselves, at nourishing ourselves, at caring for ourselves. So he paints the picture for us that we should love others in a similar way as we love ourselves, to give us that frame of reference. Of course, as we've already discussed, the ultimate in Christian love is putting others above oneself. And then we see in Romans 15:1-5, and I realize that this is quite a long passage compared to the others that have been shared today, but I really didn't find a good way to cut it. It says, "We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproacheth thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant ye to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." So we see in this passage that if we are strong in our faith, one of the evidences of that will be the fact that we are able to lift up the weak, that we are able to teach them, that we are able to bear with them in their difficulties and bring them up and build them up and encourage them, rather than to discourage them or make them feel less than because of where they are at in their journey. Because we all have a journey and we've all had struggles. I can't expect someone who has only been a Christian for 1 year to have the same experience in their faith as myself, who has been a Christian the majority of my life, about 40 years. We're all on different places in our journey. And as I said, even as a believer, I struggled for many of those early years of my faith to accept what God was doing in my life. So even as believers who are somewhat seasoned, we can still struggle in our relationship with God. And as we acknowledge that, and as we allow it to make us stronger, then we are able to help other people. And so that is really my hope for you and I, is that we would be the kind of people that would strengthen the weak and give them encouragement so that they can go on strong for the Lord Jesus. That's something that Paul was extremely gifted at, is launching people into the Christian life and encouraging people like Timothy to serve God with his whole heart and to fan into flames the gift that God had given to him. And it was really an important part of Paul's legacy that Timothy would continue on strong in the faith even after Paul gave his parting words of having kept the faith and having fought the good fight. So I think it's very important to us that we do the same. And that really is the impetus for Speaking for Him as a whole, because when I was in college, I was convicted that young people needed to be encouraged to walk closely with the Lord Jesus, because there's a lot pulling at us to go away from Jesus. And especially in this day and age in which we now live, as I'm sitting here today, 11 years after the podcast started and 14 plus years into the ministry as a whole, I am just shocked in many ways at how the devil is actually manipulating the Bible to make people think that Jesus didn't really say the things that he said, that God didn't really mean the things that he said, that there is room for new interpretations of the things that we've known for hundreds of thousands of years, particularly the fact that God made us male and female for his glory, and that men and women are expressions of God's divine creativity, and that he meant what he said when he made them the way he made them, and that he made us for his glory. These are things that I used to think were universally accepted within Christianity, but now I know that there are so many people today who publicly call themselves Christians who do not believe these fundamental truths. So we need to cling to the truth so that we know when lies crop up. That is so important. Another aspect that I want to share with you is that Jesus shows us that love requires forgiveness. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Luke 23:34. So in this passage, we see the familiar words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus, even though he was in agony and in pain, he was thinking of those around him who were punishing him and inflicting great physical pain upon him. He was thinking about the religious leaders as they walked by the cross and mocked him. He was thinking about the Roman soldiers who were driving the nails into his hands. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that Jesus created the hands of the Roman soldiers who were pounding the nails? That Jesus created the mouths of the religious leaders and the Romans who were mocking him? And he loved them. And it's interesting to me that God began to answer Jesus' prayer almost immediately, because we see that the thief on the cross came to him and said, "Lord, I know that you've done nothing wrong, even though we have done so much wrong and we're receiving the due reward of our deeds. I know that you are innocent. And so please remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And that is such a powerful thing, to realize that Jesus was already about the business of showing what Calvary accomplished while he was still hanging on the cross. And so that brings me a lot of encouragement, and I hope that it brings you encouragement. I hope that as you consider these truths that we are talking about on this episode and on this series, that it really rejuvenates you to seek to live Christ out to others and to show the power that the love of Christ can have in our lives. So we continue to consider this idea that Jesus shows us that love requires forgiveness when we read in Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And I know that if we were to think about it, we can all think about people for whom it has been extremely hard for us to forgive them. Whatever it was they did, or whatever it is about their personality that grates on us, can be very difficult to forgive certain people. But it's interesting, isn't it, how we as believers can embrace the forgiveness of Jesus, but then when it comes to forgiving our fellow men, we find it difficult. So we need to fight the idea of surrendering to bitterness, anger, and malice, and instead be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving to one another. And now our final point is that Jesus is love. This is such an important point as we wrap up today, because I don't think we understand love very well as a society. For one thing, we use the word love in the English language for a lot of things. I might say, I love ice cream, or I love the Detroit Lions, but what this is talking about is the perfect love of God. And in fact, the Bible goes so far as to say that we cannot love without the love of God. Let us consider these passages, both from 1 John. First, we're going to go to 1 John 3:16 to 18, where it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And we already talked about how love is an action verb. It's not just something you say, it's something you do, and it really is something that should characterize your whole life. And I've said this before, but I think it bears repeating, that when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, one of those aspects is love. And a lot of times we think of it as something that we need to practically endeavor to do. And yes, there is some definite action that we need to take, but we also need to remember that this love is only possible through the Holy Spirit. And if we are surrendered to the Holy Spirit, he will give us the power to do these things. So as we take these things into our spirit, then they will come out in our actions. The Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So if we dwell on God and we abide in the vine, then the evidence of that will be that his love will pour forth from our lives. And then the final passage that I want to share with you today is also in 1 John, as I said, and it is 1 John 4:7 and 8. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So the very essence of God is love. So if we know God, then the love of God should pour forth from our lives. So this idea of showing Christ's love as part of considering one another should be a natural outgrowth of growing in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he showed us what unconditional love was when, according to Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us when we were yet enemies of his. And so, if he so loved us, that means that we should love others the same way. By quick way of review, let's just look at these 5 points one more time before I say goodbye. We've seen that Jesus is our example. There's nothing that he would ask us to do that he is not already doing for us. He showed us his love, and now he wants us to show it to others. Jesus would have us put others first. The world says, put yourself first. Do whatever you have to do to be successful. And it doesn't matter who you have to step on the way up the ladder of success. Just do it and do whatever makes you happy, regardless of what other people think. I think that sometimes Christians even fall prey to this sometimes. And so we need to be on our guard. And then we see Jesus shows us that love is an action verb. So we read a couple passages about how we are to love one another and how we are to serve one another and use our service as a way to show Christ's love. And then we talked about how we are to raise up the weak and strengthen them in the Word of God, because we were once weak ourselves and we needed other people to strengthen us. So we need to pass on the blessing that we have received. And then we saw how Jesus shows us that love requires forgiveness. There's only one perfect person in the entire history of the world, and that is Jesus Christ, and he forgave us our sins, so we should forgive others. We need to look at the example of Jesus on the cross, who, when he could have cried for relief, he could have cried and asked God to take him off the cross. Instead, he asked God to forgive those who nailed him there. And so if Jesus can do that as the perfect Son of God, then we as his children, we as the earthly expression of his love, need to do that as well. And then we talked about how we need to fight our humanity and our desire to have anger, malice, and wrath have its place, and instead put in that place tenderheartedness and love for one another, and to forgive others as Christ forgave us. And then finally, we ended by talking about how Jesus is love. It's his very essence. And I just really think that that is such an encouragement to me as I contemplate the things that God has me to do from day to day, and the people that he allows me to interact with, and the fellowship that he allows me to enjoy with his people. I feel extremely blessed to be able to encourage you as you listen. If you are blessed by what you have heard here, I would encourage you to give me some feedback with the contact information that's about to roll at the end of the show, and also that you would share it with family and friends. That's how more people find out what we're doing here at Speaking for Him. With that being said, I will simply say, have a great week and keep serving the best of masters.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Your host has been Andrew Gomeson, founder of Speaking for Him. For more information on today's show and to leave us comments and voicemails, visit speakingforhim.blogspot.com. You can find Andrew's ministry at speakingforhim.com. That's speaking, the number 4, H-I-M. You can also interact with us at facebook.com/speakingforhim and on Twitter at speakingforhim. And when you look for us on iTunes and Stitcher, let us know what you think of the podcast by leaving a rating and review.